Okay, Luke 12, we're still in verse 9.
Did you have a good trip?
Yeah, it was a good trip. I tripped. Eight and nine are together. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Now, denieth is a huge word in terms of its meaning. You know, the cliche around here is you don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. And that needs some expansion. So let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Actually, let's go to Romans first. Romans 6. Well, again, it really upsets me sometimes where they put the chapter and headings, but let's start up and let's start in Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the predicate.
We're talking about Adam here, right?
Right.
The woman.
Adam died. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Again, you remember, sin is a person. You have to remember, before there could be the covering for in the offerings for trespass, sin had to be dealt with. So there's sin, the offering for sin, and then there's the offering for trespass. The offering for sin is who you are. The offering for trespass is the mistakes you made on the way to full sanctification. It's so critical that you understand that death is sin as you. And everything that makes you you is sin. because it is without faith. There's no part of you that's good. There's no part of you that has any merit before God. And if you're honest with yourself, you know that. You know that you were the chief of sinners. Unless you can find somebody that you can judge down in order that you can have at least a modicum of righteousness. So if you don't understand that, then by nature you will continue in sin that grace may abound. All right, but continuing. God forbid, also, that we are dead to sin live any longer therein. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When he was crucified, we were crucified. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected. When he ascended into heaven, we ascended into heaven. The real you is already there. It's finished. What? Continuing. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him or by the means of him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and that he liveth unto God. Reckon yourself also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Now, can you accept for a minute that sin is you? Or not for a minute, forever?
Yeah, when you said it earlier... I thought we are sin and he is righteousness. And I think it's easy for a person to see that I'm not righteousness, but he is.
Well, it's not only that. You know, not only not righteous, you're dead.
Well, if we're going to talk about it.
Hmm?
If we're going to talk about it, that's what I would say.
There's not... You know, you don't, at least in my experience, to concern myself with righteousness is beyond my pay grade. I have to believe that by the means of him, I have some righteousness, because he is righteous. But I have none, because I am dead. Okay, now let's go to Galatians 2.
Isn't it kind of all or nothing in a way? I mean, you said, I have some, implying a small amount.
No, I said, I hope I said that well, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. We can play it back. But that we have, no, I said you're kidding yourself if you think you have some.
Yeah. But in him, it's all or nothing.
Right. That's why everything about this mystery of God is digital.
Yeah.
It's either in him or out of him. There's no in between. All right, Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, again, for the most part, people start off believing in him. As we've said so many times when we talk about being between the straits, it's at the beginning of the fast of Tammuz, you may believe in him, but by the end of the days unto the days between the straits at the fast of Ab, you live by the faith of him. It's two big differences. Now, you know, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit. And what?
Hey, something no more.
Hmm?
And something no more. They rest from their labor.
They rest from their labors. And their works do follow them. No exceptions. Labor to enter into the rest. Today, while it is still called today, exhort to enter the rest. Enter the Sabbath. Enter the Sabbath. Enter the Sabbath. Again, I'll say it over and over. If for some reason you can't do that, don't justify it. Confess it before God and say, I need your help. I can't do this without you. But it's so easy to justify it. Not living by the faith of him.
Exactly.
All right. Still in Galatians. Start now in verse 17, chapter 2. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. But that's what we do when we put God's name on our works. We make Christ, it's almost too hard to say, we make Christ the minister of sin. And if you think about it, much of modern Christianity is making Christ the minister of sin. Every time they say how to improve or how to get something from God or how to live your life, they're making Christ the minister of sin. You understand that? and doing this in God's name, the curse, which is the worst thing from God's perspective that happened in time and space, self-awareness, self-realization. Now they're teaching men self-realization in the name of Christ. So they're making Christ the minister of sin. You understand that? Can you see the evilness of it? For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I build again the things which you destroyed, and you destroyed everything at baptism. If you were baptized, you destroyed all thoughts. You are trusting in any thought, any emotion. You're as dead as Harry is. Now here's the kicker. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified. I am crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. No longer my faith, which I never had anyway. Now it's the faith of the Son of God. And the faith of the Son of God is only revealed in 100% abandonment of you. This is all why I say you don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him whether it's in words or actions, saying you exist. Now these are heavy words. There's no escape. There's no wiggle room. It's all or nothing. All right. Let's look at some others. Let's go to 2 Peter. The introduction to chapter 2 is that we have a more sure word of prophecy than even James and John and the other guy, I can't remember which one it was, three of them, saw Jesus transfigured. And we have a more sure word than that.
Peter. It's Peter.
Yeah, Peter, James, and John, yeah. They saw the penultimate experience in the universe with their eyes and heard with their ears. They heard Elijah and Moses talking only about his death. It was just incredible. I mean, just think of what, man, the conversations you could have. Anyway, we have a more, in verse 18 of chapter 1, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That doesn't... All right, let's go to Jude. Book just before Revelation. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying. They don't deny that Jesus exists. Their whole ministry is how you get stuff from God. How you get saved. How you get healed. Seven steps to a happy Christian family. On and on ad nauseum. Go into a Christian bookstore, I challenge you. If you don't get sick to your stomach, you have zero discernment. 90% of the books in the bookstore are how-to books. Any response to any of this?
It's interesting that those are the books that sell, and those are the people that fill the arenas.
Yeah, they're spiritual infants. They may be saved, but God help the people that are doing it.
Will not they be the people who believe in Christ? Or maybe they're doing the wrong motive by the teaching that they're receiving.
That's not what it's... We just got through reading what their response is. Denying the Lord that bought them.
Those are the teachers, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the people.
Oh, the people are. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be like those of the ones who believe in him, but at some point, they'd drop out.
I wrote a piece about Tilton many years ago. The reason God allowed Robert Tilton to exist was so we could see ourselves without the cross. Because I'm just as ambitious and greedy as anybody. But to do what he did in God's name, God help him. And yet it's 1,000% worse in the last 20 years. What?
I'm saying.
You had a reaction.
I was thinking about Billy Graham. You know, so it's like he's on his deathbed half the time. And on a nationwide basis, he's like the only pillar this country seems to have religiously, which is strange. All the rest of them are like jakes or that have mansions and all the accoutrements.
Let's go to Revelation, chapter 2. Next page. This is the message to the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Do you understand here, an apostle is anyone that speaks in the name of God? It's not like when we studied this, we studied all the jillion apostles in the New Testament. And hast borne and hast patience. Never mind. We're supposed to go to the man. I messed up. We're supposed to go to the church at Pergamos. So we start in verse 12. I went to the church at Ephesus instead of the church at Pergamos.
Gosh.
I went to the wrong church.
You're out of it.
I'm out of it. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And the word deny is even in all that. In verse 13, thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. So let's look at the next one. Let's go to chapter 3, start, and this is the angel of the church. This is the church at Philadelphia. Start in chapter 3, verse 7.
Still Revelation.
Revelation. Did the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. But, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, that say they are Jews, or say they are Christians, and are not, but do lie, etc., etc., etc. So, even in the midst of these seven churches where there was apostasy and even Satan's seat, there were those among them that had not denied him. We're in the same position today. Okay? Oh. Let's go to one more and then we'll quit. Matthew 10. No. I don't go there. Let's go to Mark. Mark 14. Verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out unto the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times. When he thought thereon, he wept. Now what happened? What was Peter's? Peter obviously denied him.
Yeah.
But his denial was different than the denial after Pentecost.
How so?
Christ wasn't in him. Resurrection hadn't occurred. And I think that, but in thinking about it from the standpoint of eternity, it had already occurred before he was born. So who knows whether it was worse? I don't know whether it was worse or not. The same word is used. But can you see how quickly we deny him?
Was he baptized?
Hmm?
Had he been baptized, I wonder? Peter?
I don't know. I know not.
He'd spent 3 years with Jesus at that point. But he was pretty afraid at that point, too.
Well, all the disciples. Peter is no different than any of the rest of them. They all either were silent or yelled, Crucify him.
And that's really amazing. It's killing someone who's innocent. It's just a huge deal. So all
still doing it today. All right. We'll continue some more on denying tomorrow. Mañana.
Lord willing.
The Lord willing. Take it, big guy.